out for the Green Country Gardener with Larry Glass. The Green Country Gardener is brought to you by Green Thumb Nursery, Jensen Tractor Ranch, Peter's True Value, United Rentals, Overlees Woods Lumber Company, ABS Performance, LPL Painting Company, also Gross Fine Woodworks. Sharpen your shovels. It's time for the Green Country Gardener.
And good morning, one and all, and good morning to you, and Happy New Year, Larry. How you doing?
Happy New Year to you.
Ah, feels good.
You bet.
We've got our phone lines open today, so if you've got some questions for Larry at 1-800-749-5936. That's a toll-free call.
You bet.
All right. So, a new year, what do we have going on as we turn the page into 2020? And I guess just January in general.
It's getting dry.
It's getting so dry. Very dry.
Yeah, I know. We've been digging some holes this week, and it's a little dry on the surface, but down deep, it's just fine still, as we discussed last week. So your big stuff's okay, but your new plants might be starting to show a little bit of stress. If you have potted plants, that the potted boxwood or dwarf arbutus spruce on the porch or something, you might really want to watch that also. It has been a bit chilly, and people don't think about watering when it's cold because, the plants are dormant. No, it doesn't always work that. If we get a really, really cold spell and you have a dry situation in your plants, they can't tolerate that, and they just die. So,
well, you don't want that.
No, you don't want that.
No, so, they don't want that either.
So watch your plants. Make sure I've got to water mine this week. Got to charge up the sprinkler system and run it a little bit, so... We're not anticipating any precipitation until the end of the week. And then, at this point in time, the weatherman says it's not going to be very heavy.
No, 20 and 30% chances there.
So you guys are going to have to get on the ball and get... No, you did really good last week. So
reporting it, you mean?
No, making it rain.
Making it rain. I think that's a bigger hand, but okay.
I'm starting to see a little bit of growth on some of the trees, too.
Okay, good.
The bud expansion, which is not good.
Oh, no.
Some bud swell on the birches and the maples. That's not a good thing because we haven't really reached the coldest part of the winter yet.
So we have premature budding.
A little bit of that, too. Yeah. It could be a good thing because if the sweet gum trees bloom out, which they could, if they're not very smart, they could bloom out if it gets really warm, then we won't have gumballs next year.
Oh, good.
So that can be a good thing. Yeah. And also the oak trees, if they start to bloom out early, then we could have a zinger that'll zap them, and then the squirrels will have to go a little further south.
There you go.
They get their stuff. So anyway, kind of watch your trees also. My Japanese maple in the backyard, all the leaves on it are white. They didn't fall off when it got cold, that first cold spell.
Yeah.
Then I looked at it yesterday, and the leaves are ready to fall off, but there's some dieback on the branches from that coming into the spring. Some dieback on some species because they really weren't put to bed yet when we had that real bad zinger earlier. And so look for that also. Look closely at your plants too, especially your deciduous plants, such as the Japanese maple. They do. They can have a little bit of a dieback issue, but they'll come back. You can look at it from an optimistic standpoint, is it will cause some side branching to come out. And if anything, you'll have more density on your plants from a minor setback like that. So not all that bad a thing. So, golly, lots to talk about this time of year. What's going on with the nursery? The cyclamen are showing some really good color right now. Cyclamen are kind of a little known house plant. They're very easy to grow. They're somewhat dry tolerant. In other words, if you forget to water them, they'll pop back real good. And I've known some people who've been able to keep them alive for years, up to 10 years.
Wow.
On these cyclamens. They're pretty rugged plants. They really don't have much of any pest problems. You might get a little mealybug on it here and there, but for the most part, not much of an issue with the cyclamen. And they do like a pretty good sized pot. They do like pretty good drainage on them. So they look like they should be some kind of plant that would live at the bottom of a waterfall.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
At the bottom of a waterfall?
Yeah, they have a very glossy...
Oh, that.
Glossy, thick leaf on it, very tropical-looking plant.
Okay.
But by all means, they are not tolerant of overly wet conditions, they do like to dry out between. And if you'll note in the greenhouse, we do let them dry out a little bit between waterings, just so they don't get overly saturated and root rotted and so on. That's what people do with the most damage to them is water them too much. So anyway, they're exhibiting good color right now. They're a good winter blooming houseplant, if you will. So they do quite well in the house. They do need some kind of a window ledge light, if you will. Otherwise, they just simply will not bloom. Mm-hmm. So they do need
gotta let them photosynthesize.
Exactly. They got to have that energy to produce those little carbohydrates to make them grow. Okay. So
be kind. Open your blinds.
Yeah, right. Well, that's good. What to do in the garden now? Like I said earlier, water your trees and shrubs. A good deep watering rather than a light, shallow watering would be good. Time to trim your trees and shrubs. 2 weeks ago, I trimmed back my cherry laurels. They're getting too tall, and I got to do some more. And I have one that came up on its own. They have a habit of doing that.
So they do?
Yeah. You got to watch them. They'll come up over the yard.
Hey, what are you doing?
Get out of here. And I'm going to trim it into an upright form, a narrow upright growing columnar type form on it, too. You can do about anything you want with these. And they grow fast, and they break up easily in storms. So. But because of their rate of growth, they recover nicely. So they make a good quick screen, and they're evergreen. They're really a dark green color right now. So they're kind of nice. So I got to work on those a little bit. The fruit trees need a bit of a pruning on them also. I did an early pruning on them this fall, and now you can see the branching structure real well. So it's time to do a secondary pruning on them. Not going to have any fruit left. Huh?
No, it's going to be fruitless. Fruitlessly?
There'll be a stump. Oh, I got carried away. But anyway, so it's time to do that also. As far as other things, if you have scale or mealybug damage on your fruit trees, now's the time to put a dormant oil down.
Okay.
It's the earliest time. Typically, you do that in February, but February is just a couple weeks away, believe it or not. What is today?
It's the 4th.
3 weeks away. So, but it'll soon be time to do the dormant oil spray on your fruit trees to control those overwintering eggs from insects that will attack them next spring. So it's time to think about that. If not, it's even time to take action. But because it is kind of warm on that too, you want to avoid using imidacloprid, which is a systemic insecticide. You want to avoid it at all costs on your fruit trees at this point in time, because it will be absorbed by the plants, and the effectiveness of the imidacloprid will be at its peak at bloom time if you put it in right now, and it can cause some poisoning of the bees and whatnot. So you want to avoid using that at this point. That's why I say use the dormant oil for scale rather than a systemic insecticide of any kind. Don't use it in anything like that on your fruit trees at this point in time. So, with that, be sure to monitor the watering, do some pruning on them, look for damage from borers and whatnot. We got a little friend in here.
Yeah, we do. Wasn't expecting you.
But anyway, and then and then look for water sprouts on the stems. Cut off the water sprouts, and then look for subgrafts also. I had a problem with one of my fruit trees, one of my plum trees, having subgrafts coming up. And you don't want those to take over the plant, so you want to make sure to keep those trimmed back also. golly.
Yeah.
So that's kind of it with fruit trees. You might want to do a cultivation around them so the grass stays away from the trunk. Okay. And I like to use a cedar mulch around them. The cedar mulch, the oils in the cedar help keep the insects away, too.
So, there you go, good barrier.
So that's a good thing to do also. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of it with fruit trees. With the other shrubs in the yard, it's not really time to do a heavy pruning on your shrubs.
It might be a bit early.
We reserve that for the middle of February or so.
What did you say? A Valentine's Day would be about a good time when you get done with all that.
Yeah, we have our
mushy stuff.
Our St. Valentine's Day massacre. To burn off all those calories from all that chocolate.
Oh, yeah.
And cut back your plants. So it's getting. That's coming up pretty good.
Yeah.
You can do some minor shaping and pruning at this point in time, but not a whole lot. Don't cut back your dwarf nandinas.
No.
They're at their peak right now. Mm-hmm. They're about the color of them red buttons over there. So
yeah, they are.
Really very attractive plants, no bugs, drought tolerant, wet tolerant, insect resistant.
Didn't you say that deer don't even like them?
Deer don't like them. Mm-hmm. So the dwarf mandina is a very versatile plant, and they're exhibiting their winter brilliance at this point. They only get about knee high mm-hmm. if you don't do anything to them. I don't like to let them get any taller than a foot tall. Mm-hmm. So some heavy pruning on those in spring.
Gotcha.
So, but not now. Enjoy the color on those nandinas.
Very good. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back in just a little bit. It's the Green Country Gardener with our good friend Larry Glass. And if you've got some questions today, fire away. We'll field them as best we can at 1-800-749-5936. I'll just pick up the phone. Larry has all the answers. That's how that works. So I don't want you, you know, thinking, I hope that silly guy doesn't try to give me any advice. No, I won't do that. It is 8:19, and we'll be back after this two-minute timeout.
Brent Walker's in from United Rentals. And Brent, why would somebody want to rent as opposed to just going out and buying a piece of gear?
Rentals works great just for the one-time use, two-time use type person versus laying out that kind of dollars for bigger and heavier equipment.
Weather around Oklahoma can cause power outages, and you've got generators for people.
We have generators from the small, we call them suitcase size, all the way up to large to run buildings, homes, businesses. So we can get you taken care of with generators.
United Rentals in Bartlesville, 3801 Southeast Nowata Road. Call to reserve your equipment rentals, 918-333-9580.
Did you know that Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is home to Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants? It's cold out, but you can keep your house looking warm on the inside with tropical plants from Green Thumb. They have the best selection of tropicals to choose from, and they have trees and shrubs on sale to add to your landscape. That's Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road. Open Friday and Saturday 9 to 4. Closed Sunday through Thursday for winter hours.
Hey, this is Bob Olszewski. Thanks for listening to Plugged In.
Just 3 ounces of pressure to the vagus nerve, and then look at your boy, sleepy night-night.
In the new animated action pick, Spies in Disguise, an awkward inventor accidentally turns the country's greatest spy into a pigeon. This broad cartoon spy flick has a lot of threatening bad guy action and more potty humor than it really needs, but that said, it also strongly promotes friendship and sacrificing for others and declares that you can deal with adversaries without resorting to violence. Now, that's a great message for young secret agents on the playground. So, we'll give Spies in Disguise a 3.5 out of 5 for family friendliness. Read the full review at PluggedIn.com/radio. Plugging you into the movies, I'm Bob Olszewski for Focus on the Family's Plugged In Movie Review.
Good morning and welcome back. It is time for the Green Country Gardener with Larry Glass. I'm Tom Davis, and our phone lines are somewhat open. We got a few folks camped out here at 1-800-749-5936. You ready for your first call of 2020?
Make them so.
There we go. Engage. Good morning and welcome to the Green Country Gardener. Question for Larry?
Yes, my name's Daniel. I have a question. I have a peach tree in my front yard. I believe it has scabe or scab?
Probably, yeah, scale, and, yes.
Scale. And I heard you say something about spraying oil and not a certain kind of thing on it to poison it.
Yeah, dormant oil is what you want to spray on it right now. The dormant oil actually goes into the shell of the insect and smothers it out.
Okay. Where do I pick that up?
We have some at the nursery. Dormant oil, neem oil will work well also. And it's very effective. The insect has no immunity to it because it works physiologically. So,
and you can find Larry out there at the Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses off on Nowata Road.
Well, I'm there. Gary is there. Gary will be there today. So he can sell you a bottle of the dormant oil. And it's organic, so it's not, you don't harm anything with it.
Well, I appreciate that. That's what I needed to do. I've had this peach tree for several years, and it produced really well at the beginning, and then it, you know, started developing this fungus.
Yeah. Yeah, the fungus would be now. Later on, you want to put down either some lime sulfur or some a fungicide of some kind to control that prior to it leafing out or blooming out. So that's about a month from now when you want to be concerned about that. So okay. You want to do a winter application. The old-fashioned one is lime sulfur spray. I don't know if you get that anymore. They kind of took it off the market. But you do want to use a fungicide on it to kill the overwintering fungal spores on the trees so you don't have that problem. Peach leaf curl is another problem you have with peach trees. And the timing on the application for that is very critical.
Yeah, that happens. The leaves curl up.
Yeah, that's peach leaf curl. It'll also cause scabbing on the fruits. Makes a dark spot dark spot in the jelly. You don't want that. So anyway, yeah, we got the stuff that'll take care of that. So come on by.
All right, and thank you very much for your call. I think we're kind of losing you there on the cell connection. But, again, if you have a phone call question, give us a shout at 1-800-749-5936, and we'll answer the best we can. And, of course, you know, Larry, he's our college of knowledge right here. He's got a lot of stuff up there in that bean, by golly. My God, speaking of peaches, you got your brand new Georgia sweatshirt on.
Yeah, how about them dogs? Yes.
Yeah, them dogs.
But anyway, went to the doctor's office Thursday, Friday, one of those days, Thursday or Friday. Walked by the redbud tree and noticed it had scale on it.
Ooh.
And I told her, my wife is going in for a blood pressure checkup and all that. And I said, do you know you have scale on your redbud tree? I got this most curious look from the doctor.
He's used to telling everybody else.
Yeah. You need to put some either some dormant oil or imidacloprid on it to control that. She was writing all this stuff down. prescription for
that's funny. Good. That's good.
So anyway, she said I'll tell my landscaper.
Yeah, okay. Right. So, anyway. Yeah, he will.
There.
8:25. So, go ahead, Larry.
Okay, so watering your trees and shrubs is important. I think I disconnected something here, but anyway, I guess it's still coming through.
Yeah.
The vegetable garden, I turned over my vegetable garden last weekend. Mm-hmm. I just left it really rough. And I noticed there was some algae forming on the surface. And that's a sign of a compacted soil. Oh, that's better. Okay.
There you go.
And so I just turned it over and let that open to the atmosphere. And later on in March, I'll put some compost in with it. And maybe some coarse sand because the soil is kind of fine. It's that river bottom dirt that they bring in to level out lawns and all that when they build the houses and so on. And it's kind of non-porous, if you will. Mm-hmm. And the sure sign of soil being too heavy and too non-porous is this green algae growing on the surface. Green algae will grow in a situation that stays constantly moist.
Mm-hmm.
And typically our problem with soil that is constantly moist like that is an anaerobic type soil.
Okay.
And you have a hard time growing plants in that. So maybe that's why my tomatoes don't grow there. But hey, I did have a mump of crop of dipper gourds.
Yeah, you did?
A whole wheelbarrow full of them.
Ooh.
Now what do I do with them?
I don't know.
I haven't any idea.
You got a mighty haul there. I know. Yield.
So if anybody wants a dipper gourd, call in and I'll bring one to you for next week.
There you go.
So I've got some of them are at the nursery, so give away dipper gourds today. They're really good for craft projects.
They are.
And I only used one of them to cut it off part of the bottom and dip into the bird seed. It's the only reason why I grew them.
Next thing you know, you got more than you can
get my bird seed out of the bag, yeah. But anyway, they're kind of fun. Mm-hmm. And I did turn one into a bird feeder, so they're kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we were talking about stuff to do in the garden right now, and there's not a whole lot to do right now. Spring weeds are up. I noticed looking into the yard, there's this whole layer down below the thatch of the Bermuda grass of green stuff growing. And that's your chickweed and henbit.
Oh,
and I had a dandelion bloom too.
You did?
Yeah, pretty. Very nice. Very easy to grow too.
They grow wild.
Yeah, they just grow on their own. So the lawn weeds are starting to grow. So you might want to perhaps do some control on that when it warms up a little bit. With the Bermuda grass and the zoysia grass being dormant at this point in time, the Roundup during while it's warm is a very effective control for that. Just spray it. Don't spray too much. We talked about that earlier. That you do need to apply it just enough to wet the leaves.
That's it. It's all you need.
Yeah, it doesn't take very much of it. And don't, number one, number two, don't apply it on a windy day.
Nah, you don't want that coming back.
Because you have all this brown neighbors stuff all down the road. Sorry.
A little swath there. Wasn't anticipating that.
Yeah. So you want to make sure to apply it on a still day. And there's some, it's only effective in certain temperature ranges too. So it has to be fairly warm. Today will not be a good day. With the weather coming up tomorrow, you might have some pretty good effectiveness on it tomorrow.
Yeah, when it gets near 60.
Yeah, 60 degrees is kind of the cutoff point on that. Yeah. And make sure you use the proper percentage. Roundup is touted to be somewhat dangerous to us, so just wear your gloves and don't get it on you, just like a lot of things.
You got to be careful with chemicals, man.
Yeah, I know. You have to be careful. You have to be responsible.
Yeah.
And use it sparingly, use it properly, and you don't have any problems with it. So the weeds are starting to come up, so keep an eye on those. It's too late for pre-emergent controls on that. Mm-hmm. It's too early for pre-emergent controls on crabgrass. I went into a local farm and ranch seeing if they have crabgrass control yet, but they don't have it out yet. So it is a little early. We're still March. The middle of March is the time for that.
Okay, very good.
Last year I had a hard time finding it, so this year I'm gonna get it early so I don't miss out on it.
Well, Kevin, he was saying last year was a pretty good season for his crabgrass. He had it by the bushel.
Oh, yeah, and all those seeds, rain, all those seeds just fly up the street when the wind blows.
Oh, goodness sakes. It is 8:30. We're going to take a quick two-minute timeout, and we'll be back with more after this.
Make your home stand out from the rest with a new look that Groves Fine Woodworks and Remodeling can give you. They're contractors that offer bathroom and kitchen remodeling, trim carpentry, custom cabinetry, and hardwood refinishers. Voted best custom cabinetry of 2018 and offering veteran, firefighter, and law enforcement discounts. That's Groves Fine Woodworks and Remodeling. Call today for your free estimate, 918-214-6348.
When you need the help of a good mechanic, ABS Performance is where you need to go. They can do everything from a simple oil change to a full-blown transmission and engine replacement. No job is too big or small, and having the right mechanic for general and complete automotive care is important. They'll keep your vehicle up to date on oil changes and routine maintenance. Seek the help of a good mechanic. Head to ABS Performance on Price Road next to the Washington Park Mall in Bartlesville. Phone number 918-333-4420.
Hi, this is Brian Ballard with Roman Chevrolet Buick in beautiful Independence, Kansas. We have a fantastic selection of new and used vehicles, including GM certified. Just head north and watch your prices go south at Roman Chevrolet Buick in Independence, Kansas. At Roman Chevrolet Buick, you do not have to pay extra taxes. You only pay in Oklahoma where you live. We will treat you the way you want to be treated at Roman Chevrolet Buick in Independence, Kansas, where we're making car buying fun again. You can reach us at 620-331-4700 or 24/7 online at romansgm.com.
Anniversary coming up? Call K1 at 918-336-1001 or email radio at BartlesvilleRadio.com with the names and dates, because each morning we announce anniversaries and select one couple to win a $10 gift certificate from Sterling's Grill, helping you celebrate that special anniversary. Call us 918-336-1001 or email radio at BartlesvilleRadio.com with the name and date, and we'll add it to our list. Happy anniversary from your friends at K1.
And we are back right here with the Green Country Gardener with Larry Glass from Green Thumb Nursery Greenhouse. And our number is 1-800-749-5936. Where were we, Larry? We were talking a little bit.
We were talking a little bit about weeds and stuff.
Weeds.
Let's talk about some good stuff.
Yeah. Weeds aren't so pleasant. They're not.
They are. Actually, a lot of them are edible.
Yeah, dandelions. I heard people can make dandelion soup.
Yeah, they're superfood. Uh-huh. Dandelions are, really. So
that might have been what I had at the old Chick-fil-A when I got that old superfood salad.
Yes, so.
I'm well, feeling kale, kind of dandy today.
A parallel would be kale. Kale is considered a superfood also.
Yeah, okay.
So, but dandelions are very healthy. A lot of vitamins in them.
Oh, the more you know.
Unless you slather your yard with chemicals, then I wouldn't touch it.
No, that's the wrong kind of salad dressing on that.
You don't want that. Anyway, tree of the week will be Blue Atlas Cedar, the Cedrus Atlantica Glauca. The Cedrus is a cedar. Atlantica is Atlanta, whatever.
Yeah.
And Glauca means blue. So the Blue Atlas Cedar. It's a native to the Atlas Mountains of Morocco and Algeria.
Beautiful.
Where it can be found in scattered stands in elevations of 3 to 6,000 feet high.
Mm-hmm.
So these guys are used to being up in the clouds.
Yeah.
It makes you wonder why they live here, but apparently they're very adaptable.
Yeah.
It's evergreen with blue to bluish green and light green foliage. Glauca Atlas Cedar is perfect for specimen planting. There are some in town, really good looking ones here in town, mm-hmm. too. It has a somewhat irregular open pyramid form to it, if you will, with lower branches spreading about half of its height.
Got it.
So if it gets, 40 to 60 feet tall, it'll expect it to get about 20 feet wide.
Ah, there
so
you go.
Give it room to grow. Mm. So anyway, they do like good drainage, and as their country of origin can imply, mm-hmm. some good drainage. And they become kind of flat-topped when they're older and irregularly shaped.
Irregularly shaped.
Yeah, kind of like me. You know, we're all.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. You're fine.
Not many people are irregularly shaped. Yeah. But now, there's several varieties of this plant, including Pendula, which has a striking weeping form. Mm-hmm. And there's a kind of a dwarfish kind of form called. I forgot the name of it, right? Mm-hmm. that happens now and then. But anyway, Hortzmann.
Ah, there you go.
The Hortzmann Blue Atlas Cedar is one that's really making good headway in the landscape because it is very, very easy to maintain. It doesn't get so awful big. And it seems very well suited for a climate here.
There you go.
It's a more dense growing form of the Blue Atlas Cedar. The Blue Atlas Cedar tends to be more open and irregular, and mm-hmm. the Hortzmann is more dense. And you get a lot of blue color in a fairly small area on that. And it does make a good specimen plant close to the house. So the Blue Atlas Cedar is definitely one to consider. It does like well-drained soil and a mostly sunny location. As far as pests are concerned, you can have problems with mites on this one.
Mm-hmm.
And you can have problems with mealybug on it also.
A mealybug.
But what we mentioned earlier about the dormant oil is one that you can use on it to help control. Curb that the spread of that insect,
mm-hmm.
and also the applications of imidacloprid will work very well on that also. But anyway, this is a good one for a good specimen interest plant. Give it lots of room, though.
Okay,
In its native habitat, it gets 20 feet wide, so you want to put it in a fairly good sized bed in the house,
mm-hmm.
not by the front door. It'll grab the grocery bags on the way in and cause grape poops to go rolling down to the street. So you want to make sure to kind of keep it away from the front door.
Okay.
So the Blue Atlas Cedar is definitely one to put in the landscape. I like to use it, say, at the back fence also for screening.
Works pretty well that way.
Because
huh?
it does. I like the shape of it. It's kind of irregular.
Mm-hmm.
As a kind of a specimen plant, put some hollies or something around it, but make it kind of a focal point plant.
Hmm.
In a screen or a hedgerow of some kind, it works very effective out away from the house.
Very, very interesting.
So I don't think it really gets big enough to really make much of a lawn specimen. So it should really be, in our neck of the woods here, kind of integrated into the landscape mm-hmm. Somewhat, rather than a lawn ornament per se.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good plant to have. Very few problems, very drought tolerant, and just don't plant it in an area where water tends to gather and sit because it did. It'll turn into a wine bottle tree very quickly.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, won't make it there. So that leads us into the shrub of the week, which is blue holly.
Blue holly.
It's a medium-sized, broadleaf, evergreen, ornamental shrub, about 8 by 8 feet. It makes a pretty good low-screen plant.
Mm-hmm.
But it's highly variable depending on the particular hybrid. Now, there's one variety of this blue holly called China Boy and another one called China Girl.
Okay.
And they kind of work together to make berries and so on.
I understand.
So they're China Grill and China Boy are very rugged, easy to grill holly amongst the blue holly varieties. The blue holly per se by itself tends to be just not very good here.
Okay.
For lack of a better term.
It struggles a bit.
There are better holly plants that you can choose than the blue holly. In an area where it's very well-drained and has a proper soil chemistry that is somewhat low in pH and adequate iron and so on, and about a half day to almost full day sun, it should do okay.
Okay.
The China Girl and China Boy holly don't really care.
They just don't.
Yeah, they grow about anywhere. Mm-hmm. But they do get to be a pretty good size.
They do? Uh-huh. About 8 feet, you say?
Yeah.
That's good size.
So they're not that bad, really. Uh-huh. They look good out along the fence or something. What I mentioned earlier with a screen or something, these mm-hmm. would be a good holly that would go with that. And the berries, really, on the China Girl can't be beat. So you want to plant a China Boy off the corner somewhere, and then the little girls out there mm-hmm. with their berries along with the Blue Atlas Cedar will make a real nice show in the wintertime.
There you go.
So so you might consider getting some of those for your screen plant. Full sun to... they will tolerate some full shade, but they do best in partial sun. And they prefer moist, well-drained, rich, acidic soil, da-da-da. But it will tolerate soils of average to poor fertility, and it is adaptable as far as pH is concerned to neutral or slightly alkaline. Many hollies prefer an acidic soil, but mm-hmm. They do like... this one can tolerate our soils a little better than say, a... American holly or something, which mm-hmm. can have some problems if you don't do your soil culture properly.
Got it.
So
you got to work your dirt.
Got to work your dirt. So anyway, that's a good one to consider in the landscape. The leaves aren't as heavy as a regular holly, as say a Burford holly or Nellie R. Stevens holly. The leaves are a bit thinner, mm-hmm. and because of that, they're a bit more people friendly. So. I wouldn't put one near the pool, though.
Don't put it near the pool.
Because, yeah, you might, if you fall into it, it will be a little itchy.
But, a little bit.
But it's not like a Chinese holly, which you'll be stuck to it, you know, permanently.
Oh, no.
So anyway, the blue holly is a pretty good plant to have. So I would recommend it in the landscape pretty much universally, only in a situation where it'll do too well. Mm-hmm. It does get a little stem burn, a little leaf burn if it gets really, really cold in the winter. So it can have some appearance issues if it gets really cold, but they recover pretty quickly. So they are zone 5 to 8, which we're right in the middle of that at 6.5 to 7. Mm-hmm. Really 6 to 6.5, so it'll take the cold real well. So it does really quite well. So anyway... That is the shrub of the week, which is blue holly, in which the China Girl and the China Boy holly are incorporated into that grouping. So,
and always ask an expert when you're taking a gander at perhaps putting this in your yard or along your hedgerow, and we can do the boy-girl thing accordingly. Exactly. We want to make sure that it's done correctly.
Actually, there's really no problem with berries. I have a deciduous holly in my backyard, and it's covered in red berries right now.
Oh, boy.
And they bloom in the absence of leaves in the winter, so the mm-hmm. berries are very evident. Mm-hmm. Unlike the Yopon holly, which is sort of a parallel to that, if you will, my Pride of Houston has lots of berries in it, too, but they're small, and they're kind of covered up by the leaves. Mm-hmm. So the deciduous holly has an excellent berry show on it. And I don't know that I have any male deciduous hollies around anywhere. They just kind of seem to bloom anyway. And they have lots of flowers and berries on them, so they're really quite showy at this point.
Show-offs.
Exactly.
It's 8:42. We're going to take a quick time out, and we'll be back in just 2 minutes with more of our Green Country Gardener program right here on your favorite station. Don't forget, we do have... Our line's open at 1-800-749-5936. That is 1-800-749-5936. Back after this 2 minute timeout.
Did you know that Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is home to Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants? It's cold out, but you can keep your house looking warm on the inside with tropical plants from Green Thumb. They have the best selection of tropicals to choose from. And they have trees and shrubs on sale to add to your landscape. That's Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road. Open Friday and Saturday 9 to 4. Closed Sunday through Thursday for winter hours.
Enjoy these bargains of the month from Peter's True Value in Dewey. Right now, Peter's has a 20-pound bag of True Value wild bird food and a 10-pound bag of black oil sunflower seed for $4.99 each, your choice. Great Stuff 12-ounce Gaps and Cracks expanding foam sealant, 2 for $7. And stock up on light bulbs with Peter's GE 4-pack LED bulbs, $9.99 a pack. Shop Peter's True Value, 1865 North Osage in Dewey, and save with these and more bargains of the month.
Dunge's Family of Autos is under new management. Come meet the new Dunge's Family of Autos management as we bring in the new year and are eager to fill our staff with new employees, new attitudes, and new faces.
Must be 18 to apply.
And be all smiles. Top pay for great attitude. And Dunge's Family of Autos will train.
Start immediately.
Day shift.
Evening shift.
Full time.
Part time.
With benefits.
Vacation.
Needing operators.
Product specialists.
Customer service specialists.
Dunge's Family of Autos.
All aboard.
Apply in person.
Ask for Michelle Gaines.
Dunge's Family of Autos.
The home of simple price selling. No games and no haggling. Prices clearly marked in every car, only at Dunge's Family of Autos.
Good morning and welcome back. Welcome back. It is our Green Country Gardener program, and our phone lines are open at 1-800-749-5936. It's 8:45, 15 minutes away from 9 o'clock. Larry Glass is with us here, and of course, he is our expert here today. And we've been talking about, you know, some hollies here just a little bit ago, and are we moving on to another
We can continue on hollies a little bit and touch on that. And they take many forms, really. Holly is... it's a very diverse genus of plants. They go anywhere from, golly, the Chinese holly, which is basically a pincushion on wheels, if you will, to some that don't have any thorns on them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, such as the dwarf Yopon holly or the Yopon holly or the deciduous holly.
Mm-hmm.
There is a holly. It's kind of hard to get. It's called cherry bomb. Yeah, and it has no thorns on it at all. The leaves are reminiscent of Clayera. If you're familiar with that, Clary is a very glossy evergreen plant that does very well further south of here.
Mm-hmm.
And this one looks kind of like it. So if you're from the south and you remember the Clayera japonica plants,
mm-hmm.
this one has a kind of a similar appearance to it. And as the name implies, it has lots of red berries on it in the wintertime. And it's the berry show is sort of reliable. So.
Mm-hmm.
So it does, for some years, has more berries than others. This year didn't do very well.
Mm.
But it's a little hard to find, too, sometimes, because of those attributes of the thornless leaves on it.
Ah, gotcha.
And the leaf shape and the berry show and all that, and the size of it eventually. And, I planted a few of them here in town, and they're doing pretty well.
I bet they are.
But the berry show is variable, so there are not very many male cherry bomb hollies around, so I guess they don't... very many berries on them. So, and that's one that's thornless. And the Foster holly is a cross between a blue holly and an American holly, and it grows up about 35 feet tall in an ideal situation and about 10 feet wide. So
that's some pretty good height.
Makes a really good screen specimen and so on. And mm-hmm. if you have a big house, it makes a good corner planting, if you will, but keep it away from the house. But anyway, so it's a very varied plant. One of my favorite hollies is the American holly.
Mm-hmm.
It does very well. And another favorite is, of course, the Yopon holly and the dwarf Yopon holly. The dwarf Yopon holly is a workhorse in the landscape. It has a lot of varieties in it,
mm-hmm.
and because of that, it does a lot of different things in the landscape. From a size standpoint, it stays fairly small. It can get up to 5-6 feet tall if you let it.
I guess.
There's a variety called Bordeaux, which is more dense growing. And it's called Bordeaux because the newly emerging leaves are reddish in color. Mm-hmm. Gives it a little bit of interest other than that. And it has a somewhat glossy leaf and a little bit smaller leaf than the standard Stokes Dwarf Yaupon Holly.
I see.
So it's a good one. The Bordeaux is a good one to have. And there's another one that's very, very compact growing. And we've used it in the landscape. And it has a little trouble with winter hardiness.
It does.
Some of them do. Yeah, some of them do. Some of them don't.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so you might want to think about maybe instead of that, going with a Heller's Holly or something instead of the that particular dwarf Yaupon Holly, which mm-hmm. I had it in my brain a minute ago, but it left.
I got you.
So anyway, so the dwarf Yaupon Holly. Now, on mine, I've got some of my house that are 30 years old.
So they're pretty durable.
For it to survive in my house, yes, it has to. You're on your own, buddy. But what I do on those in the middle of March, or middle of February, I guess,
yeah,
is take the electric hedge trimmers and just cut them straight horizontal. I don't make them little balls or something. I just cut them flat.
Give them an old flat top.
A flat top. Yeah. And they stay very well in balance that way, and they make a kind of a broad, spreading, oval-shaped plant. So mm-hmm. they're really quite attractive that way. They look ugly for a short period of time in the spring, mm-hmm. if your timing is correct on when you prune them back. But they bounce back really quickly, and they assume a real nice oval shape, about hemispherical oval shape, if mm-hmm. you will, on the ground. Kind of nice, really. So the important thing with them is just a once-a-year pruning on them, a very heavy pruning once a year.
And do it straight across.
You can do it any way you want. Mm-hmm. But I have found
best results,
that its natural shape is best preserved doing it. Then I have some in a hedgerow, some Bordeaux in a hedgerow between a boxwood hedge and a burning bush over by the garage. And they are cut down really low like that. And because of the annuals I have in front of it, they're a bit more irregular than the ones further down that, mm-hmm. That are in the open sun. So they can assume different shapes depending on the environment like that. Okay.
Very good. They're adaptable a bit.
Very adaptable plants. They respond, holly plants respond very well to annual applications of iron sulfate. They really do like that iron. It deepens the color and makes the leaves more glossy, and they make a healthier plant altogether. Don't forget to water them in the winter.
No neglecting.
A couple years back, we had a cold spell after a drought, and mm-hmm. it was not preceded by precipitation, which happens a lot. We get the rain, then it gets cold. Mm-hmm. Or it snows, and then it gets cold. Then it clears up, and it melts the next day. So you want to make sure that they are properly irrigated throughout the winter. And a good layer of mulch will ensure that very much so, other than mm-hmm. just having to water bare dirt all the time. It does help conserve a lot of moisture, so they do much better in a situation where the soil is mulched.
Got it.
So the dwarf Yaupon holly is good for that, too. So that's kind of the holly plants, a very diverse grouping of plants. So one you really want to look at. It's kind of nice.
All right. We're going to take another quick break, and we're going to come back. Attention to our stations all along the network line. We're going to have a three-minute timeout. We'll be back after this right here on the Green Country Gardener program after this three-minute timeout.
When you're building the home you've always wanted, look to 400 series windows and patio doors from the brand trusted by builders and remodelers Anderson. With variety, style, and time-tested performance, it's no wonder they're our most popular windows and doors. 400 series windows and doors from Anderson. Why choose anything else? See Anderson Windows at Overly's Woods Lumber Company on Nowata Road in Bartlesville.
The original Waldorf Astoria Hotel on Fifth Avenue in New York City was built in 1893. Constructed in the German Renaissance style, the hotel had 450 guest rooms and another 100 rooms for staff and servants. After merging with their next-door neighbor, the Astoria Hotel, in 1897, the hotel had 1,300 rooms, making it the largest hotel in the world at the time. The Empire Room at the hotel was the largest and most lavishly decorated room in the Waldorf and quickly became one of the finest restaurants in New York City. From the beginning, the Waldorf was the must-stay place for foreign dignitaries from around the world. Some of those guests were the leaders of China, the Prince of Siam, the Grand Duchess of Russia, and many others. Andrew Carnegie was a regular guest at the hotel, and the Waldorf Astoria Bar became a favorite haunt for many of the financial elites such as Diamond Jim Brady, Buffalo Bill Cody, and Bat Masterson. In short, anyone who was anyone in the world of politics, society, business, or entertainment wanted to be seen at the Waldorf. It truly was the world's hotel. Following the tragic sinking of the Titanic, the Waldorf Hotel was the official site for the inquiry that was performed by the United States Senate into the disaster. With this backdrop, our very own Frank Phillips was a major player at the Waldorf. In 1929, a private corporation was formed by Uncle Frank, and he became part owner of the Waldorf. Later that year, they sold the buildings and the land to a corporation named Empire State, Inc. Their plan was to demolish the hotel, which they did, and build the Empire State Building in that location. In July of 1929, prior to the demolition, Frank Phillips inspected the hotel and paid particular attention to four handsome chandeliers which hung in the tap room of the hotel. When the hotel was gutted in preparation for the demolition, Frank was given those ornate lights. He promptly shipped them to Oklahoma and had them hung in the great living room of the Woolerock Lodge, where they illuminated family gatherings, business meetings, cocktail parties, poker games, and many other social events. Whenever asked by guests about the lights, Frank liked to joke and say they were all that he got out of his investment, calling them his million-dollar chandeliers and declaring them the most expensive in the country. The magic of New York City and the Waldorf Astoria from 1893 is still part of the lodge today and the wonderful history of Woolerock. That same magic still exists. Welcome home to Woolerock.
All right, we're back with the Green Country Gardener Program, and Larry is with us here. We just got about 4.5 minutes left to go in the program. What's going on at the greenhouse?
Golly, at the greenhouse, we've got the cyclamen and a good selection of succulent plants,
mm-hmm.
good house plants and things, anthuriums, mm-hmm. which are exhibiting some bloom color at this point, as well as the cyclamens are. Mm-hmm. Still has some Christmas cactus. They bloom in real well. And philodendrons, you know, the whole line of houseplants. And golly, I was back in the greenhouse, and we are getting ready for spring.
You are?
Yes. Now, the hellebores are coming about. Some of them mm-hmm. are actually blooming. Hellebores is a mm-hmm. winter-blooming perennial. It has a semi-attractive foliage. It can be
semi-attractive.
but when it blooms, it yeah. blooms with the snow.
I gotcha.
In the spring and summer. They do like the shade and good soil. What else?
Mm-hmm.
So you'd have to do some ground prep with them. Mm-hmm. But a lot of compost and peat moss, and they adapt real well to our climate. But they do like the shade. The hellebores mm-hmm. or the Lenten rose does like to grow in the shade here. And it does not tolerate drought very well. So make sure the irrigation system is up to par when you plant them. So those are coming on real good right now. We have just a wide variety of perennials.
Mm-hmm.
The foxgloves, the digitalis, they're starting to really grow on nicely right now. We have some salvias and whatnot like too. So mm-hmm. things are coming along.
And do you have winter hours?
Winter hours, we are open Friday and Saturday from 10 to 4.
Okay.
And just pop on by if there's somebody there. We'll wait on you.
Okay.
But anyway, uh-huh. Uh-huh. So that kind of leads us to another perennial that I like to use in the landscape.
Sure. What's that?
A sedum.
What was that again?
Sedum.
Oh, sedum.
S-E-D-U-M.
Okay.
That takes. It's another one that has a very broad base of plant appearances and plant shapes.
Gotcha.
The sedum goes anywhere from a very close ground hugging. Ground cover to an upright growing specimen kind of plant that blooms in the late summer.
Okay, gives you the best of both worlds, huh?
Right. So you might consider using some sedums in your xerographic landscape because mm-hmm. they are very, very drought tolerant. hens and chicks are not related to sedums, but they kind of go with them.
Mm-hmm.
And you can actually plant those on top of rocks. Put a little dirt in there and put these hens and chicks in there, and they thrive very well in an environment like that. We've used them in the landscapes. And we did a landscape for somebody out west of town.
Mm-hmm.
And really nice, the stone borders and the plants and the shrubs and everything else. But there's one little area that was kind of difficult. So we made a little miniature garden. It's about maybe a foot by a foot square. We put a little boulder in it and some sedums and some hens and chicks.
Hmm.
And of all the things, they like that the best.
They do.
That was kind of fun. So anyway, so these have a definite niche in the landscape in an area where it's a very shallow soil, rocky soil. They'll thrive very well. So you might consider putting some of those in the landscape and little hidden gardens and things here and there in even bird bath gardens. They do very well.
Good. Very good. All right. Well, we're about ready to wrap it up for our first big show, I guess, of the new year.
You bet.
So we've got new year, new season, and a lot of new things going on here in the world today, and of course we're wishing everybody a great 2020 as we get ready to head out to the gardens here over the next several weeks. Get out in the yards whenever Mother Nature is going to let us do what we got to do.
Exactly.
And meanwhile, keep those houseplants taken care of, and watch your sunlight and watch your hydration.
Exactly. And make sure your plants are well irrigated. Come by the nursery. We've got a great selection of trees, mm-hmm. of which they're on sale for 30% off. I know we got some to plant this week. So in order for us to plant those trees, our soil is just not really that good in some parts. And what we really need to do is keep that shovel sharp. So we will see you next week and have a great new year.
Dignity, compassion, excellence. Stump Funeral Home and Crematory, Bartlesville, Nowata, Barnstall.
This is KWON Bartlesville, K227 CQ Bartlesville.
And a good morning. It is 9 o'clock. It is time for news from CBS.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Gary Nahn.